We are going to be in the book of 1 John tonight. 1 John chapter number 3, verses 4 through 9, with an emphasis on verse number 8. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 9, with an emphasis on verse number 8. We have been looking at some text in the Bible that help us to better understand why Jesus came. The Gospels tell us and explain to us that He came and the circumstances that surrounded His coming. But as we get to the other parts of the Bible, we are theologically brought up to speed on why He came. And so we've looked at a couple of different places. We noticed that the Bible tells us that He came so that He could make slaves of the law, sons of God. And we have been made sons of the Most High God. We also learned that He has come to bring, to be grace. He is the grace that came to bring us salvation. And then last time we were together, He came to humble Himself even unto death on the cross for us. And tonight we're going to look at Jesus coming to destroy the works of the devil. Verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth against the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he appeared to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, or for this purpose the Son of God has appeared, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. It's truth, it's authority, it's blessedness, and what a joy it is to read Your Word tonight as we are preparing our hearts to celebrate and to honor the birth of our King, the birth of our Savior. And so, God, we pray as we move through this text that You would help us to see and to know what is here and give us a fresh glimpse of what Christmas is, that we may celebrate it and honor You in it. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The question that I was asking myself this week is, I wonder, in the middle of all the bright decorations and all of the beautiful wrappings, if we realize that Christmas is really about something that needs to be destroyed. We're buying things and we're giving presents, but do we realize that Christmas is really about something that needs to be destroyed? I think that the people who will experience the fullest meaning of Christmas tomorrow are the people who know and feel that there is in them something that needs to be destroyed. And Jesus came just to do that. John says that it is the purpose of Jesus' coming that He might destroy the works of the devil. So the reason there is a Christmas is because God aims to destroy something. He is on a... Christmas is a seek and find and destroy mission. Somebody, you know, they like those little cliche phrases. If you wanted one, you could say there's danger in the manger. Amen? he has come to destroy. Now, let me give you three real simple thoughts tonight. Let's talk about what Christ come to destroy, and then the ways that he destroys, and then the marveling that we should have over what he destroys. Number one, what Christ destroys. What did Christ come to destroy? Well, John tells us here he came to destroy the works of the devil. But we need a little bit clearer understanding of what that is. So let's discover what the works of the devil are. What are the works of the devil that John speaks of here in verse number 8? Well, John says that he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil is a sinner from the beginning. The devil sins from the beginning. So, I would offer to you, according to John here, the works of the devil is sin. Jesus Christ came to destroy sin. Now, you do understand the devil has two accomplices in his endeavor to do sin. He has the world and he has the flesh. But behind sin, in its most basic cause, is the devil. He is the originator of sin and he is the propagator of sin. And would you not agree from the text that the works of Jesus, that Jesus came to destroy, are the sins that the devil has originated? When people commit sin, it is the work of the devil. It is the work of the devil to tempt us to sin. When we sin, his work is accomplished. So what the Son of God came to destroy is not just the guilt of sin, but actual sinning. The Son of God came to destroy sinning. And really what Christmas is God's invasion on enemy territory to rescue a people from the devil and to destroy sin in their lives. That's really what Christmas is about. So we discover that the works of the devil is sin, but let's define sin. I want to define it so that we just don't think that sin is being not naughty and nice. But according to John here, he says sin is lawlessness. Not U.S. law, not constitutional law, but sin is lawlessness against God's law. It is the expression of God's law revealed to his creatures that is broken. Lawlessness is living as though your own ideas are superior to God's ideas. Lawlessness says, God may demand it, but I don't prefer it. Lawlessness replaces God's laws with our desires. I become a law to myself, in a sense. Lawlessness is rebellion against the right of God to make laws and to govern his creatures. Lawlessness is the refusal to acknowledge God as a sovereign of the universe. So now we can better see what the Son of God came to destroy. The works of the devil are sin. Sin is lawlessness, and lawlessness is rebellion against the right of God to rule over us. The work of Satan is to tempt us to reject the authority of God and to become like God ourselves. It's the old temptation that he gave Eve in the garden. Satan works to nurture and to cultivate that pride that puts at the very forefront our desires above the law of God. That's lawlessness. That's the essence of sin. And that is what the Son of God came to destroy in you and in me. We don't often celebrate Christmas like that, do we? But that's exactly what he came to do. Number two, let's notice the ways that Christ came to destroy. What did he come to destroy? Sin, which is lawlessness against God, rebellion against God, the offense against God. And he does that two ways according to John in the text here. Number one, through a supernatural birth. That's what we celebrate, right? The way Christ destroys sin is by manifesting himself, appearing in flesh. You with me? He comes from heaven and is born in the form of a man. Probably what John has in mind here is not just the birth of the Son of God, but all that he did in living and dying and raising from the dead. It's hard to separate the birth from the death. They go hand in hand. So the first answer to how Christ destroys the work of the devil is that he comes, he shows up, he manifests himself, he appears in the flesh, and he comes and he lives and he dies and he rises again. And in doing that, he destroys sin by his righteous living and by his substitutionary death. He puts the death blow on sin. So Christmas is about a celebration of God coming to earth in flesh for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil or sin. He didn't send an envoy to do it. He didn't put you and I in charge of doing it. He came to do the job himself. A supernatural birth. And then John says there must be a spiritual birth. The second way is found in verse number 9. This is what he says. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, the seed of God, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So there are two ways that the works of the devil are destroyed, according to this text. One is the appearing of the Son of God at Bethlehem, and the other is by a new birth that must happen in every believer. Are you with me? Christmas doesn't mean anything if you're not born again. It is not enough for Jesus to come and die and rise again. That's true. Jesus came and he died and he rose again. That's not enough for you if you haven't received Christ as your Savior. People must be born of God. There must be a new birth. There must be a supernatural regeneration by the Holy Spirit for this to mean anything. Otherwise, the works of the devil are not destroyed in you. Although Jesus Christ came and he lived and he died and he rose again to destroy the works of the devil are not destroyed in you if you have not been born again. If you haven't been born again, sin keeps reigning. Sin keeps its place on the throne. So both are necessary. The coming of Christ and then a new birth. To be born again, according to John here, was to have the seed of God in you. You see that? You're born again when you have God living inside of you. The new birth is the creation. Listen, the new birth is the creation of something entirely new in those who believe and trust Jesus Christ. Something that was not there before is now there. It has been created in us. Something entirely new and foreign to us. What is that? The indwelling of God. So when John says that a person born of God cannot sin, he must mean that a person born of God has new wants and new desires. It's a birth that has created something new. Something new has come into existence. Paul calls it a new creation in Ephesians. Jeremiah calls it a new heart. Ezekiel calls it a new spirit. But being born of God is being changed by God so that the dominion of sin is broken in our lives. Now, I'd put it this way. This is how I would explain this, and I'm a simple man. I would explain it this way. Sin to me is like broccoli. I don't like broccoli. I don't know why I don't like broccoli. I just don't like it. I don't like how it looks. I don't like how it tastes. I don't like how it feels in my mouth. I just don't like it. And no matter what I do, I can't cause myself to like it. And with God living in us through the new birth, we have in us that which causes us to dislike sin. We can't like it, no matter how much we do it or try. We can't like it because of this new birth and the indwelling of God in us. We have this dislike and this disdain for sin. And as we have this dislike for it, it begins to die and be destroyed in our lives. There is no temptation for me with broccoli. Amen? And that analogy should be true in all of us that have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have a dislike for sin. Now, John is not speaking of sinless perfection here. He's speaking of a growing dislike and a disdain for that which is truly rebellion against God. And isn't it impossible for us to love God and love sin? The growing dislike and disdain for sin will let us and help us to keep from feasting on sin. It's like the analogy of walking in the light. When we are walking in the light, we are discovering more and more things that we dislike, right? That are in us that we didn't know was in us, but more and more we're coming in contact with things that we dislike. In other words, we can't just be content with sin. We still sin, don't we? But I'm not content with my sin. Sin should leave a bad taste in every mouth of every believer so that we confess it, we repent of it, we ask God for strength to weaken its grips on us. We see sin the way God sees sin, and we agree with God. God hates sin. We hate sin. We should be sorry for our sin, turn from our sin, flee from our sin. And when sin is pointed out in our life, we should be willing to confess, admit, repent. That's what God's doing in our lives. Amen? He came to do that in me and in you. Number three, and I'm done. The wonder of Christ coming to destroy. What did he come to destroy? Sin. The works of the devil. Those things that are rebellious against him. Those things that are lawlessness. How does he do that? By coming and by the new birth. Both. But Christmas should be a time of wonder. It should not be a time of anxiety, of pressure, of exhaustion, or disappointment. It shouldn't be a time where we think, oh, I'll just be glad when it's over. Christmas should be a time where we step back and we just wonder at what God has done. Because what is God doing? Why did he come? There is the conforming here, right? Jesus came to save, right? Jesus came to save, and to save, he has to destroy. I do want you to get that. If I am saved, there must be sin being destroyed in my life, or else I'm not saved. Because Jesus came to destroy. So as this process of sanctification is ongoing in our lives as believers, we are being progressively conformed to the image of Christ. Now here's the question. What if sanctification is really and actually the destruction of sin in my life? What if sanctification is the conforming of my attitude towards sin to be more in line with Jesus' attitude towards sin? What if I'm being made to be like Jesus, who looked into the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what he saw there was so horrendous that he sweat as if it were drops of blood? What if I'm being made to see sin that way? You see, Christmas is really all about me becoming more like Jesus. Because he came, he was born, he lived, he died, he rose, he sent his Spirit to cause us to be born again so that he may destroy the work of the devil. Then the celebration. Now, this is not a try harder, do better sermon. This is a celebration that we have when we just trust Jesus to do what Jesus came to do and to know that all things work together for good to those who love him. And the question again is, how do we, if this is true, if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and then sends his Spirit to regenerate me and bring new birth to me, and then is bringing me along the process of seeing sin as he sees them. And so what Christmas really is about is God coming to save me and you from the devil and sin. If that's true, how can we let so many other things come into Christmas and marginalize that truth? How can we let this truth get so crowded out in our lives? You see, it's the same message that the world had over 2,000 years ago when Mary and Joseph entered into Bethlehem. No room for this. And over 2,000 years later, guess what? Still, in our country, no room for this. But how about in our houses? How about with those who profess to be his children? How can we not celebrate Jesus seeing that he came to destroy the works of the devil? That sin that is in me, that sin that has separated me from God, that sin that will ultimately send me to eternal torment, that's what Jesus came to destroy. And in destroying sin, he saves us. Jesus destroyed that. Hallelujah. He came to destroy that because that's the only way you and I can be saved. That's Christmas. Dear Heavenly Father, may your word resonate in our hearts and our minds as we move from Christmas Eve to Christmas Day. I pray that the glory of God would be manifest in each home, in each heart, in each family tomorrow, that we would remember that what Christmas truly is God coming. God leaving the glories of heaven. God coming and taking on flesh so that he can make slaves sons, so that he could be the grace that brings salvation, so that he would humble himself, even take the death of the cross in our place, so that he would destroy the works of the devil, the sin in our lives, so that we could be saved. Christmas is so special. The birth of Christ, so special. God, help us to glorify these truths of you at Christmas. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.